This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between, because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Don't miss your window of opportunity. Upgrade your space now during Blinds.com's anniversary sale and save up to 50% site-wide. Blinds.com. Elevate your windows with the number one online retailer of custom window treatments. Blinds.com offers hundreds of premium window treatment options. Choose from woven wood and Roman shades to blinds, motorized shades, and more. All designed to fit your budget without sacrificing quality. Blinds.com brings the showroom to you with free virtual consultations and samples delivered directly to your door, fast and free. Our design experts can help schedule a professional measure and installation, plus guidance for DIYers too. Blinds.com has been trusted for 29 years, earning thousands of five-star reviews. Shop with confidence, knowing you'll get upfront pricing, no hidden fees, and Blinds.com's 100% satisfaction guarantee. But hurry, these savings won't last. Shop Blinds.com's anniversary sale happening right now for up to 50% off site-wide. Save up to 50% site-wide at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Sports Radio 92 on the game. It is Oscars night for those of you who are into the Oscars. I used to be, not no more. There's 10 movies up. I've seen two of them. I don't know. I'm of the firm belief that streaming television, that Apple TV and Prime and, all the streaming channels, they pay so much money that the best of the best go to streaming and do series. The quality of television nowadays, especially streaming television, not network television so much, but streaming television is exceptionally good. And as a result, the quality of the movies has gone down because, to me, the best of the best don't go to movies anymore. And I'm not just talking about actors. I'm talking about writers and producers. And, I think they go to streaming television because it just pays more. And so, to me, the Oscars are... I used to go to tons of movies when I was single. I mean, Dom, back in the day, I would probably go to well north of 50 movies a year.
Oh, yeah. I'm the same. I'm a big movie goer. I love actually going to the theater and stuff. So any chance I get to go to a theater, I will take.
Yeah, I go about 4 or 5 times now. And I didn't watch a whole lot of TV. I mean, but now I watch a lot of TV because the series are so good. I'd rather watch Severance than watch a movie. I'd rather watch Landman than watch a movie.
Yeah, I think you'll see, you're starting to see that trend where like studios and stuff are starting to focus more so on television series, just because I think you can get more out of the audience that way. Whereas like with a movie, they buy their ticket, they go there, then maybe they'll buy it on Blu-ray or something like that, or buy a DVD of it. But like for the most part, they go to see the movie, and then that's the only thing that you get from them for real. Whereas with a series, it's an investment where they have to keep coming back every week. There's multiple seasons, so you have to stay on this whatever streaming service it is. So, it all kind of lends its way towards that.
As somebody, one of my friends here says, you're saying that Fano should get all the credit if they make a run, but at the same time, you're saying he should be out if they don't. Yes, that's exactly what I'm saying. That those two are not diametrically opposed. Those are the same thing. Okay. He sent me a text like he's confused about that. If they win, he should get the credit for it. If they lose, he should be fired. Yes. The answer to that would be yes, Brian. Yes. Speaking of friends, old buddy Mel. Mel, what is shaking, Mel? Mel from the SWATs. Mel, what is shaking?
Welcome back, Joe. I guess those spaces are going to be quite occupied now since you're back. Because since you've been gone, it's been so-so. But you know what, John? Speaking of the movie, look how many talents you have now. And look how many TVs on TV now.
Can we stop? Hey, you know, Dom, can we stop this for a second? It's like he's talking in mud. I'm only picking up about every third word. I don't know if that's on my end or his.
I'll put him on hold. We can go to Ryan next.
Okay, let's go to Ryan. See if you can clear up. Is that on my end? Are you hearing him clearly, or is it muddy to you?
I'll check with him. It's on my end too. I can hear him. I'll check with him. But Ryan's on.
Okay. All right. Hey, Ryan. Welcome to the show.
Hey, John. Thanks for having me on. I hope you're doing well.
I am. Thanks.
Excellent. Can you hear me okay?
Yes, I can hear you fine.
All right. Yeah, I couldn't hear Mel either. Sometimes it's hard, even if you can't hear him, but that's a whole other story. Wanted to talk a little bit Falcons draft and just, you know, some of the dogs and combine a little bit. But wanted to start off by just kind of giving you a heads up that the Dan Jackson that's on the Georgia football team is not the same Dan Jackson that's on the baseball team.
Oh, okay. They're all right, I stay correct. Jackson, all right, they're two guys. Okay, I saw things that Dan Jackson hit a home run. I thought it was
similar. For the first time.
I don't follow college baseball. I apologize. All right, I got you.
Oh, thanks. No worries. Hey, I just, you know, throw it out there for you. But he is a guy that I think the Falcons should kind of eyeball, you know, maybe with that seventh round pick, because, you know, not only could he help you in the secondary, but he's going to be an immediate impact player for whoever he goes to on special teams. Especially on pump block as a gunner, on kickoffs and on punts. So I think he could definitely help a roster. But I'm with you on the fact that right now at 15, if we could trade down to say, you know, maybe with the Packers at 22 or 23, or the Broncos at 20, pick up an extra second or a, you know, maybe a third and a fifth. Now we're really starting to cook, because we can get that D tackle like a Walter Nolan in the first round, and then pick up, you know, a pass rusher or edge rusher in the second round, or switch that up, vice versa. You know, I think we have a lot of options. I think it's got to be defense. And I understand what you were saying, you know, the argument with Bijan and Jalen, that Bijan's just one of those generational running backs. I get that, you know, but that doesn't mean that Carter couldn't be a generational player too. I think, you know, two things can be right at the same time. But I understand why the Falcons didn't go that way. But, you know, this year,
Jalen Carter can be a generational player. Don't get me wrong. I'm not saying anything right. That he isn't a great player. I just think that this was the decision that they made. They decided to, you know, largely, I think it was based on, you know, Ryan, what I just said about to the previous caller here, that there was a concerted effort to draft into offense and to make that a priority, and then to use free agency on money on defense.
Yeah, and I get that. I just think if that – what I don't want to see happen is there's that, you know, big shiny toy that drops to us, maybe the kid from – you know, Arizona, the wide receiver that everybody's in love with, like McMillan. I can't remember his last name, but
Tatoria McMillan. Yes, and he looks. He looks the part. He looks the part of a big receiver. But I don't think he's going to be there at 15 anyway. I think it'd be a long.
Yeah, but my point being is, if somebody on offense slides, then you're like, wow, we didn't think we really had a shot at this guy, but you have a really, really good player that's not going to be a reach at a position you need on defense. I think this town would riot and revolt if the Falcons went offense. You know,
that's fair enough. It's fair enough, but don't we have to see what happens in free agency first?
No, I agree, and that was what I was going to get to next. I think one of the big pieces for me, at least, with the Falcons is, what are they going to do with Drew Dolman? Are they going to let him walk? Are they going
to? No, they can't let him walk. They've got to bring him back. They've got to bring Dolman back. Don't. I mean, come on. He's my number one priority.
But do they have the money to do it and then address other needs? Well, I was thinking if they didn't bring him back, and I know I don't love a rookie center in the NFL with essentially having a rookie quarterback. I mean, yes, Penix did play 3 games this year, but, you know, he is essentially a rookie going into next year. I would take a good hard look, you know, depending on if we're able to trade back and get a couple earlier picks and, you know, a guy like Jared Wilson sitting there in round 4. I think that could be a good move if, you know, depending on what they do with Dolman.
No, I got to tell you, I guess my belief is just abroad, Brian, in football, is that look at the difference that what ignited that 2016 team, that offense.
I agree. When we got Alex back, I mean, absolutely.
Exactly.
It makes a difference.
It makes a gigantic – center is the most underappreciated critical position in all – it's like catcher in baseball. It's the most underappreciated critical position because everything happens at the point of attack, and that is the ultimate point of attack. And to Dolman and to to Lindstrom and to Bergeron, everything happens off what Dolman does. So, no, I think that would be a gross mistake if they didn't bring him back, a huge, gigantic mistake.
I can see that. I can see that. And, you know, I'm not against bringing Dolman back, but I'm just trying to see because, you know, hey, especially on defense right now, there are a lot of big ifs. Like, you know, we think Braylon Trice is going to be a player. I like what I saw from practice
in Miami,
but he never got live game reps. You know, Dorlan,
we don't know. You're right.
Thing.
We don't know.
Rook. So I think going defense, especially in the trenches, in that first round, be it an edge, be it, you know, an off-ball linebacker, if you love somebody, or a big guy in the middle like a Walter Nolan, I think that's just going to be hard to pass up.
Well, yeah, I agree. I mean, but first things first, before we even talk about the draft, again, we have to talk about free agency before we ever talk about the draft. And I think you have to bring back, I prioritize it to me, Dolman 1, Simmons 2, McGarry 3. Beyond that, if they don't want to bring somebody back, I don't care. Now, I really don't. And, you know, because I think you can get equal or better value. And the bigger question to me is, aside from that, is what do you do? How do you deal with Kirk Cousins? You know, I mean, what do you do there? And do you consider moving on from Grady Jarrett?
Grady, do I want to do it? No, everybody here loves Grady, but if he wants to go somewhere and make a lot of money, and he's not willing to restructure, and it just doesn't fit with what the team needs, and we can trade or get something for him, then, you know, you've got to take that into consideration. It's not something you want to do, but it kind of forces your hand. And then with Cousins, I think we only have one option. You got to keep him on the roster until preseason or spring. Somebody gets hurt. Somebody realizes they don't have what they thought at quarterback, could use that veteran presence, and we can get something in return for him. Because if we cut him, we get nothing, and we eat all the money. If we keep him on the team, I don't think that he's going to be a malcontent. I definitely see there's choppy waters, and I'm with you. If it were me, I would probably cut him. But if I'm Arthur Blank, I might be kind of petty and be like, you know what? Forget you.
He may be petty. You're right. Yep.
I'm sitting you on the bench, and you're not going to play. And you can ride out your last 2 years here being a bench warmer, and I'm not trading you because you have a no-trade clause.
That's a $10 million call if you're Arthur Blank. It's $10 million worth of your money more. So, I no, you're not wrong.
Well,
I appreciate
it,
Ryan.
It's easy to say when it's not coming out of my wallet, John. But
right. I know. Me either. But I appreciate it. I want to see if we get – I appreciate it, Ryan.
Go ahead.
I got to get to a break here. I got to get to a break, and I want to try and get Mel in real quick. Sorry, thanks, Ryan. Can see if we can get Mel. Mel, did it clear up for you?
Yes, it cleared up. Yeah, it's better now. But you know what? Since you go on the break, I'm gonna make it clear. It's not the one person that we need to get rid of for the Falcons. And I don't want to even go through that again. He needs to go. He don't need to be nowhere around the Falcons. Nowhere. That's the quarterback. He was the one that kept us from going to the playoff last year. So, we don't need it. And plus, when it come up to the draft, we all know we need defense. From linebackers to defensive ends and so forth. That's what we need. And all these callers call in talking about what we need. The people that love the Packers, we know exactly what we need. You know what I mean? Look here, George. We need to keep our running back over there. We need to keep him. We don't need to get rid of him. The running back is very important now. The Eagles, the championship Eagles, showed you that. The running
back.
Yeah,
Mel, I'm sorry. I'm really having. I apologize, Mel. Hopefully, I could talk to you again when we're back on. I don't know what it is with this connection. I sort of got what you were saying. Really, on my end, I don't know, maybe on my end, really muddled. But, yeah, I you're right. I agree. Look, what do you need on defense? A cornerback. That's why I think bringing Simmons back helps, because you don't need a safety. But a corner, a nickel, an interior defensive lineman, an edge, a linebacker, another interior slash edge. I mean, you need 5 to 6 new starters on defense. And that's keeping Simmons and Grady. Okay, you might need 6 or 7 new starters on defense. So, yes, it's all about the defense. Because you've got all the starters. I mean, could you use another wide receiver? Sure. But, I mean, right now, all this, the offense, you bring Dalvin back and McGarry, which they're going to do, your offense, there's starters everywhere. You're fine. All right, quick break here. We spoke earlier in the show, about 3 hours ago, with Mike Conney, fresh off that United loss to Charlotte, what he said about that United loss off to Charlotte and his thoughts about what the Falcons are going to do. I'm going to bring that back in case you missed it, because I think he has some really good points to make. We'll do that as we continue. John Fricke with you on a Sunday afternoon on Sports Radio 92 on The Game.
If you're thinking about GLP-1s for weight loss, listen up. You must make sure you're maintaining your muscle mass while you're losing weight. Otherwise, you can slow your metabolism and regain the weight. Omisid, a natural superfood protein shake, has been scientifically proven to preserve muscle mass. It optimizes and supercharges your metabolism so you can lose weight easily. Use Omisid with GLP-1s or as a natural alternative. Find out more and see the university studies at omised.com. That's AlmaSed.com.
StreetEasy asked former New Yorkers if there's anything they miss about life in New York City.
Let me put it this way. House of the Home Theater sounds appealing. But that's until you realize you no longer have a theater district.
Whether you're looking to rent or it's time to buy, StreetEasy has the local expertise you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. StreetEasy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
Do you believe you are wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
I'm Jordan Robinson, host of the new podcast, The Women's Hoop Show. Each episode, I'll be joined by a rotating group of women's basketball experts to talk WNBA, college hoops, the new Unrivaled League, and the shifting landscape of the sport. The game is growing, and so are we. Listen to and follow The Women's Hoop Show and Odyssey Podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Sports Radio 92 on The Game on a Sunday afternoon. Abe Gordon, top of the hour. Yeah, it's going to be, look, it's going to be fun. It's going to be interesting to see what happens here in this offseason. And, of course, it's going to come at you fast. The combine wraps up, and then we turn our attention to, you know, free agency and legal tampering a week from tomorrow and the start of the league year. And then, you know, the Falcons have 2 weeks to make a decision on Kirk Cousins. Are they going to pay him $10 million to stick around, or are they going to cut him loose? Are they going to Russ Wilson him? You know, I mean, is, you know, this, I don't know what way they're going to do. I wish I could tell you. I really do. I really wish I could say, hey, this is what's going to happen. I really don't know. I think you make a case for both. The cut him and Russ Wilson this thing, or keep him, which is one of the things we touched about with Mike Conney, getting his thoughts about that. Now, yesterday, as you know, Atlanta United did not play well and fell for the first time this year. He had thoughts about that since he is the play-by-play voice of Atlanta United. So had a chance to talk to him earlier. Want to bring that back because I thought he had some really good insights into United, the Falcons, and, for that matter, the NCAA basketball tournament, which is going to be large here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. And here is my interview from earlier this morning with Mike Conley. Let's begin here. Let's talk first about Atlanta United, what we saw. I know there's injuries to the fullbacks. What you saw yesterday, this is really going to be more of a work in progress. I know some of us are way ahead of where this team is probably at, but as it goes along, what did you see yesterday?
Yeah, the word I used at the end of the broadcast, John, was sobering. That's how I felt. I think we got really, really excited last Saturday when we saw the Slam unit just crank out chance after chance after chance and come up with three goals, one of which coming from a substitute, and Almiron involved in a couple goals, and Watt and Saba all involved in goal creation. And there were some warts defensively, but you thought, you're going to outscore anyone you play, and it'll be fine. It'll be wild, entertaining, sometimes stressful soccer. And instead, yesterday, I kept thinking, man, this is more of the same. I mean, this is the same stuff, different year, especially with road games. This team's won only 15 road games over the last 5-plus years. Outside of one 10-minute sequence at the end of the first half, this attack was not effective. Charlotte did a good job. They're very good defensively. You have to give Charlotte a lot of credit. National team center back and Tim Ream and MLS goalkeeper of the year and Christian Kolina. So it's not totally surprising that Atlanta United struggled as much as they did to create chances. I'm not at all concerned about giving up the two goals, John, because, as you said, they were without their top three fullbacks. This back line is still going to be a work in progress. I thought Derek Williams didn't play very well yesterday, but he's coming back from an injury, and he might not have been 100%. That, I think, will correct itself once you get Amador and Lennon, and even Ronald Hernandez, I think, would have had a big impact in yesterday's game. So I'm not so concerned about that. I am very concerned that, outside of Almiron getting three shots on target, Latte Lott had really only one good chance. Saba, I didn't think, had a very strong game. And Moranchuk, I didn't think, had a very strong game. That's my concern. Because we were told, this group's going to be just cranking out chance after chance after chance. And after they gave up the second goal, yesterday in Charlotte, that was it. I mean, Charlotte was able to close up shop and kind of suffocate Atlanta United out of the match, and that was alarming to see.
Mike Conley, of course, play-by-play voice of Atlanta United and the man of many hats and brand manager, which means boss, by the way, for all of you in the swamp. Talking about a lot of sports here, I want to shift to the Falcons, if I can, mm-hmm. and the Combine. And I know a lot has been made about their focus on defense. But here we are, knocking on the door of decision day for Kirk Cousins. What is your best guess? Let's start there. I got two or three Falcons questions. Is your best guess that they will cut Kirk Cousins? It seems to be kind of the prevailing opinion.
It is. I'm not 100% sure they're going to cut him. I really think they would like to try to get something to get him off their hands, and even if it's a conditional draft pick or just some kind of compensation. I think they're going to try to do something to cut their losses. And keep in mind, too, as free agency evolves, as the draft evolves, and even as training camp evolves, needs of teams will change. And Kirk Cousins could suddenly become very, very valuable if a team has a training camp or a couple quarterbacks go down. I would not be shocked if the Falcons had Kirk Cousins still with the team going into this summer. And keep in mind, too, I think the explanation that we've gotten from the team as far as cap hit is concerned, it's very reasonable that you've budgeted a certain amount of money to have both of these quarterbacks. It doesn't necessarily matter who's the starter and who's the backup. You've budgeted the same amount. So ideally, would the Falcons like to have Kirk Cousins off their hands today? Probably. Is that the right thing to do? I'm not exactly sure. I think there is still a window where the Falcons might be able to cut their losses and get something.
You know, you bring up something that I really hadn't thought about, which is at the time of the declaration of the injury on the NFL Network, I said, look, he can't show his face in the clubhouse again. So I wonder if they decide to go ahead, because you can make a really compelling argument that, yeah, it might be worth the $10 million to keep him and see if you can't get something in return from another team, especially. Would you even let him, if you did that, would you just Cody Zeller him? In other words, say, don't even bother to show up and go get another quarterback and work him out. In other words, I don't want him back in the locker room, don't want him on campus, don't want him anywhere near the team.
You certainly could do that. I would be a little surprised, honestly, if things have gotten to that point. Cousins strikes me as a pro. You know, I don't like what he did. The Falcons obviously should be very upset about the situation, but he's a pro. Raheem Morris is a pro. All these players on this team are pros. This would not be the first time that you've proceeded through OTAs or a mini camp or a training camp with an air quotes unhappy camper in your midst. So I think there is a path forward, at least short term, where Cousins could still be literally in the building. I don't think it is eroded to that point, John, where they're changing locks and door codes and everything like that. They're not giving Kirk the keys. I don't feel like there's that much acrimony yet, although I think you have heard, especially even in the last week when we've had Terry Fontenot and Raheem Morris on the radio station, I think you have heard some palpable frustration in the way that everything went down.
Yeah, I think that's probably the one part of it. The other part of it is, how does it play in the locker room? If you're a player on that team looking at him and saying, what, you knew this and you sold us out and you didn't bother to tell anybody? And so I think that's the other issue here. But
but you know what, John? I think everything blows over. You know, you give anything time and it blows over. We have collectively very short memories as human beings. And it could be by the time that we get to OTAs in April and May that a lot of that has blown over in the locker room. Beginning to wonder if we care about it more as fans and observers than maybe the players on this team.
Right, that may be possible too. So, but let's go back to the other part of this combine here, which is the whole emphasis on defense and this, you know, show about you know, again, they did send some offensive coaches. I love this. Mm-hmm. We had a couple of offensive coaches go for informal interviews. What the hell is the difference between a formal interview and an interview? It's an interview, okay?
Right.
One's getting dressed up in a tuxedo. That's the formal interview, and one's got jeans on. I mean, okay, whatever. I get a sense here that because we've been spending so much time talking about Kirk Cousins, that the unspoken thing and about the draft, that the unspoken thing here is when we're knocking on the door of free agency here, and it was one of the questions I wanted to ask today, are we looking at major changes to this defense in, like, there's going to be, you know, forget about there's no Lo Carter, there's no Judon. Is there no Onyemata? Is there no Grady Jarrett? Are we redoing this entire defensive line and Jeff Ulbrich just hasn't said anything yet?
Yeah, a couple different things to touch on there. Just because they have said that they're all in on defense, that only the defensive coaching staff formally went to the combine, to me does not mean that they're still not going to take the best player available. And that the combine is only one piece of the scouting puzzle. Pro days are a very, very big part of that scouting puzzle, too. And I'm sure the Falcons scouting staff will be going all over the country to look at offensive and defensive players at these pro days and conducting interviews as needed and working players out as needed. So I'm not so hung up on the tip that maybe they're going to be heavy defensive in this draft because of what they're doing at the combine. But as far as an overall remake of the defense is concerned, I think right now this is a numbers game and it comes down to salary cap numbers. The salary cap went up a little bit more, than teams were anticipating. That might change the calculus a little bit on a player like Grady Jarrett. The other thing about Grady Jarrett specifically, John, I thought Carl and Mike made a really good point. I think it was Friday, where they were talking about Raheem Morris and the value of the locker room culture and the value of leadership and everything that Raheem Morris really holds near and dear, it would be surprising if Grady Jarrett's salary would trump the other leadership qualities that Grady Jarrett brings, and that a decision would be made solely on that, which I thought was an interesting point. And I could absolutely see that with Raheem Morris and Terry Fontenot making the decisions. But I do agree with you, John, that I think there is the potential for big changes. And a lot of it's going to be dictated by the draft, but free agency comes before the draft. And that's what makes it so tricky. And you're putting a lot of faith and confidence in your draft board and hope that the players that you have high on your draft board aren't going to be taken away from you when you have the opportunities to select. It's going to be a very, very busy couple months, well, really now, a month and a half.
A couple weeks
in Flowery Branch for them to sort that all out.
All right, Mike Conney, final thing here with Mike Conney, live with John on a Sunday here. Mike, I want to go to the NCAA tournament. I'd like you to, all right, this is shameless plug time, but it's okay, to plug a little bit about what the tournament coverage will be like on the radio station.
Yeah.
In what appears to be, you know, a year where the SEC, especially Auburn, good Lord, you know, is going to be kind of the, potentially the dominant, you know, they're the league to beat, that's for sure.
Yeah, no doubt about it. It's going to be a lot of fun, and you're right, John. Our coverage really begins in earnest next Sunday when we start getting into some conference championship games. You'll have a short show next Sunday because we've got two conference championship games, Missouri Valley, and I think the Ohio Valley is the other next Sunday, and then we'll have some more conference championships on Tuesday. Selection Sunday, there's a Hawks game, or actually an Atlanta United game on, Atlanta United Miami, as they're pulling the brackets, and the Hawks are playing as well at the same time. So we'll really get into all the brackets the following Monday morning. And then you're right, between us and our sister station, News and Talk 1380 WAOK, every game of the tournament live on the radio all the way through the Final Four of the national championship, as we're very pleased to do with our relationship with Westwood One. And on top of all of that, we're going to have Andy and Randy and Dukes and Bell out at a number of venues across Metro Atlanta as games are played. Those first two days of the first round, the Thursday and Friday of the first round, I think are two of the best sports days of the entire year, because it's just a nonstop avalanche of meaningful college basketball that we're all invested in because of brackets. And what'll be fun is Andy and Randy and Carl and Mike, they'll be out at sports bars watching along with us. So a lot of coverage coming up, and really optimistic, John. I think we're going to get at least one local team in. Georgia's had a really, really good week. Is it enough to get them up to where they need to be? We'll find out, but they've had a really good week. And Georgia Tech has had a really good week too. So, things starting to look up locally for maybe getting a team into the tournament. I hope that'll end up happening.
That was Mike Conney from earlier in the show discussing again. I think this NCAA tournament is going to be fascinating to watch, but boy, Bruce Pearl and Auburn, whew. How about that win by Tennessee? Alabama just kind of gave that one. Well, there was a great shot at the end, but yeah, I think the Alabama-Tennessee game may be kind of like a little bit of a leading indicator into what we may see in the tournament. All right, quick break as we continue live from the Northern Kia Studios on this Sunday. John Fricke on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Well, it's been good to be back on here, and again, it'll be interesting for me personally to be broadcasting quite so far away as I am for the foreseeable future anyway, and but it doesn't mean I'm not still obviously paying every bit of attention to everything that's going on, because, well, you know, once a fan, always a fan, 50 years of this, I think, Dom, this would be actually my 51st year of being, right, 75 to 20, it'd be 50, but I have to count as well, so it'd be 51 years for me, right? That's a long time. It's a long time. You know how many championships I have to show for that, Dom? 51 years? Three.
Say that one more time.
Three. Two World Series and an MLS Cup in 51 years. How many total seasons is that? Like, it's way north of 200.
Oh, yeah.
When you count the hockey teams.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Well, that's not a great batting average. But, you know, hey, listen, I can laugh or cry, I guess. I want to be, you know, as optimistic and hopeful as I can. I think there's a lot of reason to be optimistic, don't you agree, about Atlanta United?
Right? Absolutely. Yeah, no, like we said earlier, don't hit the panic button. You know, they lost to Charlotte. Understandable. Bad second half. It's early. There's a lot of new pieces. They're figuring stuff out. They need time to gel. I think there's still a lot of optimism for this team moving forward. This is a team that, at least offensively, should be one of the premier teams or clubs in the league. So, just relax. Take a breath. United will be just fine this year.
And then there's a lot of reasons to be optimistic, obviously, for the Braves. I still think that they're a legit threat to win the World Series. I believe strongly that healthy, that they have the best 1-9 lineup in the game. I think their rotation, even without Max Fried, is still pretty good. Because it depends, of course, on Spencer Strider. It depends on a number of things. Can Schwellenbach be, you know, as good as he was last year? Can Strider come back and be right back to form? Does Ian Anderson, you know, step into that role, or Grant Holmes, or, you know, A.J. Smith-Shawver, Elder, somebody, you know, are they able to piece together the back end? And if not, then AA can, you know, certainly make moves. The team has an opportunity to be really good. I'm going to be interested, too, to see. Dom, I'm a firm believer, and I started spouting it early in the baseball season last year. I said, look, there's something wrong with this baseball. There's something different. And it took a former Brave named Daryl Chaney, who listens to this program and lives here in town, was a man who, Chaney, had a couple of World Series rings when he was with the Reds and was the leadoff hitter and shortstop for the Braves for a number of years. And I started saying, he called me up one day on the show and said, hey, I agree with you. There's something wrong with this baseball. And then you started to see halfway through the season that there were other people saying, hey, there's something wrong with this baseball. It's not the same. And you saw a lot of stuff that, you know, Matt Olson was a perfect example. Stuff that he was jacked for home runs was dying 5 feet short of the wall. So if the baseball is back to being more of a jump baseball and the Braves stay healthy and they can hit 275 to 300 home runs, they're going to be a hard out, Dom. They're going to be a really tough out.
I saw Grant's text early. It says some of the spring training stuff seems pretty good so far. He said guys were hitting homers and doing well and stuff. So, again, I think last year you were just so snake-bitten last year. You just had so much stuff just go the wrong way for you, and I think it was hard for everyone to get back into a rhythm, especially because you get guys pressing because, like, oh, my goodness, we're missing so many guys. Now we have to make up for the loss, and we've been in this rut. I think a lot of guys will play a lot freer this year, and I think you'll see not exactly the 23 numbers from 2 years ago, but I think you'll see I think the offense this year will look more like the one in 2023 than the one in 2024.
Well, you know, there's that, which I agree. And then, of course, you know, nothing is zero sum. I mean, are we on the cusp of, you know, Michael Harris blowing up into the best center fielder in the game? Do you have the best right fielder in the game? You know, is Profar going to take his game to the next level playing in a smaller stadium in the middle of a much more potent lineup? You know, and, you know, and despite everything that happened that you pointed out last year, let's not forget, for all the things, losing Strider and Acuna at the beginning of the year, losing, you know, Albies and Harris and Riley and Murphy for extended periods of time, and, you know, weird baseball and having to play Zach Shorts of the world and whatnot, they still won 89 games and made the playoffs. You know, wasn't like they went in the tank, you know. They did in the playoffs, but that's a different story. So a lot of reasons for optimism on both of those teams as their seasons get going here. I still think there's reason for optimism on the Hawks. I know it's frustrating right now. But, you know, Jalen with now a full year of Zach under his belt, and Dyson Daniels and Trey and Okongwu. Now, can they improve the bench in the offseason? Can they go out and get some veteran presence? I think they need to get a couple of veterans, veteran point guard, veteran big. You know, they may be at least fun and entertaining to watch next year. And I think there's a lot of reasons, Dom, to be optimistic about the Falcons. Look, in order to win a Super Bowl, you have to be dominant on one side of the ball, at the very least. You have to have something that you're really good at. You know, Baltimore won a couple of Super Bowls by being great on defense. And they won them with Joe Flacco and Trent Dilfer at quarterback. You know, they didn't exactly have world-beater offenses. You know, so, you know, you can St. Louis Rams won a Super Bowl season based on an offense. The Falcons went to a Super Bowl 28-3 was based on an offense. But they were dominant on one side of the football. If the Falcons could turn into a dominant offense this year, then just being mid on defense, they're going to be very good.
Yeah, I think that if you can get that, now again, I think that it's just a matter of, I don't know if you can do that this year. You know, I think it's going to, especially, you know, you've got a young quarterback leading the offense. I think it's just going to take time. I don't think this offense is far off. You've invested a lot of draft capital in that side of the ball, so there is a lot of potential. So I don't think they're far off. I don't think it's a stretch to say that this could be an elite level offense in the future. I just think it's a bit much to ask of this year, which is why I think you do need to load up defensively. Like, I'm all for an all defense draft. Like, don't draft a single offensive player.
Yeah, well, I think they can be elite offensively this year. I mean, I think you saw that in the let's go to that. To me, the game is that Washington game. You went nose to nose with Jaden Daniels. I mean, Michael Penix was, right there. I mean, Penix said, "Hey, dude, you got game, so do I." You know, he never flinched in that thing. So I think they could be really good offensively. But we'll see again. That's how it plays out. But, you know, for the sake of the guys that are there now, they better be, because there's no question that, you know, we talked about whether or not that they, you know, were going to be let go at the end of the year. I can guarantee you one thing is true. Arthur Blank has put down the hammer. When they made the move to get rid of Jimmy Lake, he said, "You've got to win now." There can be no justification, Dom, for not making the playoffs. They just did. They're none. Zero. And I'm not talking about sneaking into the playoffs as an 8-9 team in a crappy division again. I'm talking about you got to go out there and really play, which we thought they were at 6-3 and three games up. Whatever. Abe Gordon's coming up top of the. Do you know what Abe did today, Dom?
Are you talking about his marathon?
Yeah. He's posted that online. My daughter was kind of putting it all together over there at Mercedes-Benz Stadium, because that's kind of what she does.
Yeah.
And then Abe ran in it in the Publix Marathon. And man, he posted some seriously good times.
Abe is telling me half marathon. He keeps on
half marathon. But an hour and 53 minutes, that's damn solid.
Yeah.
I mean, you're running that far? What is that? How far is that? Like 10 and a half miles?
13.1.
13 yes. Hi, Abe. How you doing?
What's up? How we doing?
Good. Hey, that's a hell of a time, dude.
Yeah, thanks, man. I was pretty happy with it. I was just shooting for sub-2 and just kind of got into a groove, and it was cold, and that felt good.
Well, not as cold as it is here. It wasn't snowing.
honestly, you know what's funny? Is like 3 or 4 miles in, and I was cooking early. I was like, man, I'm kind of hot. I wish it was a little bit colder. And everyone else is like... You psycho. It's like 35 degrees. What's wrong with you? I could have used about 24 degrees.
Well, that's the way it goes. So what was the route? I mean, you start and at the backyard? Or
yeah,
what?
So we started the Home Depot backyard and kind of head out and kind of loop around a little bit of downtown towards Piedmont Park. And we come out of Piedmont and loop towards kind of towards Georgia Tech and roll through there. And then back to the backyard. Yeah.
Okay. So are you now planning to whenever we have an event at Mercedes-Benz Stadium, and you're in the studio, you just run to it? I mean,
no,
I
still like to drive. I also don't want to like show up to future United games drenched in sweat. And,
no, I got you.
As soon as it gets hot, I mean, it's going to get toasty, and the walk from the blue lot to the stadium will get me sweating anyways. So,
Well, and you know, I thought about you the other day because I'm like 4 miles from Assembly Hall here.
Of course.
Where I'm at. And so I was like, ah, yeah, Abe's old territory here, you know. And then it's so funny because, Abe, I got up here and all anybody up here is talking about is Mike Woodson. I'm like, yeah, I know that. I remember that. Yeah, Hawks, yeah. Yeah, Mike Woodson, yeah, okay.
I've had similar ending, I believe.
Yeah, similar ending on his way out. Yeah, it's just kind of funny to hear people talking about Mike Woodson again. And I'm like, oh, okay. All right, I get it. Been down that path before, And, you know, the funny thing was with Woodson when he was at the Hawks is, you know, that was that 13-69 year. And then they turn around and got better every single year. And by the end of it in his last year, they actually, I think they won 50-some games.
And then, fizzled, as teams do.
Yeah, it fizzled as teams do. Well, good. Yeah, it's been an interesting day here, you know, with the combine wrapping up in Indy. It's going to be really intriguing here over the next, don't you think? Or, I don't want to spoil your show. I assume you're going to be talking about it over the next, 8 to 10 weeks to 2 weeks here, next, say, 8 to 15 days between the start of tampering and, you know, final decision on Kirk Cousins. Going to be a really fascinating couple of weeks for the Falcons.
I'm not sure how much of that legal tampering they're going to be doing with their current cap situation. So they got to figure that out. I know you talked about Grady and his future. Yeah. And whether you like it or not, it has to be seriously considered. I'm not saying it's the only path forward.
Right.
But it has to be seriously considered. What is it, $16 million or 16 and change, you know, with one swipe of the pen? So you got to take a look at it, but we'll see where it plays out. I think the Falcons in free agency are going to be fascinating because, and I'm going to talk about this a little bit, they've got to bring back a couple of their own guys, and that might be all the moves they do.
So I said 1, 2, 3, and I didn't mean to interrupt you, but I said Dahlman 1, Simmons 2, McGarry 3. Is that something that you would stack that way, or is it different?
Well, I don't think McGarry's out of contract, so unless I missed him on my sheet, he's there. Dahlman's the only, like, obvious we have to bring this guy back. I got a couple other guys. Like, Kadarius Hodge is out of contract. I'd like to see them grab him again. A couple of guys on the back line, Ryan Neuzel and Storm Norton, a little offensive line depth. I think for the right price, bringing them back is key. And then we get into the Justin Simmons and Matthew Judons and Rondale Moore, Richie Grant. Those are if the price is right, guys.
And if they're healthy. I mean, Moore, it was such a shame. I mean, you bring him up, but almost forgot about him. You know, we talk so much about Braylon Price.
If he's willing to consider like a $2 million, you know.
No, I get it. I mean, if he's healthy, I mean, it just, I just almost, because Ray played pretty well, but Rondale Moore was a guy that I was really, you know, counting on last year. And then he, you know, like Trice got blown up in the preseason, so, or before the season began. So, I had forgotten about Rondale Moore for a second there. And then, of course, yeah, and then you got to figure out the Cousins thing. And I know you'll talk about it. I not often that I'm stammering going, I have no idea, but I'm stammering and I have no idea.
Yeah, I'm not going to talk about it. I mean, I have a guest coming up and I'll ask him one question about it. But, enough with the Cousins thing. They either will or they won't. Like, whenever that time comes, fine. Like, I don't need to do the same show for the next 10 days until we hit March 17th. You know what I mean? Like, whenever they do or don't, we'll react to it then. But, like, the discussion's getting boring at this point.
All right, man. Well, it's nice talking to you again. Congrats on the great time on the Publix Marathon.
Yeah, thanks. Appreciate it, John.
All righty. We'll hear from Abe Gordon next. My thanks to Noel White and, of course, to you, Dom. As always, I will talk to you again on Wednesday night, 7 to 10. Enjoy Abe Gordon as he gets back into this. Here we go. It's going to be a fun couple of weeks here. Fun by interesting, at least, for the Atlanta Falcons. And for that matter, for all four franchises. As we head towards March Madness, too. Busy time of the year. On Sports Radio 92 on the game.